Over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to travel to some of our world's more obscure trouble spots. As I've participated in learning tours with Mennonite Central Committee, these trips have served to help inform me as I serve as a director or a board member for MCC Canada. Now, as I prepare to leave for these trips, I make sure that I spend some time with my wife, Charlene, and my family, my four children. I want to enjoy some family time together. I want to let them know that I love them very much. And I want to make sure that Charlene is okay solo parenting, and she is always more than up for the task. She has done so very well. And after tucking our kids and ourselves into bed, I invest some time praying for my family. I want to make sure that I am leaving my family in our Lord's care. And in praying, I'm giving my family back to the Lord. I'm placing my trust into His hands. Some of the places that I've gone to are troubled spots, and it's interesting that as we prepare to go, I have to sign all these release of liability forms. You understand that your insurance might not cover you when you're going into a war zone. As we're going into Colombia, I'm going, oh, what? I'm going into a war zone? As we're going into Israel-Palestine, there were parts of Israel that were considered war zones as well. And I'm going, what? We're going to a war zone? And so here I am making preparations to leave my family. And I want them to know that I love them and care for them and that they are cared for if something untoward were to happen to me. I think that's a little bit of what Jesus was saying to his disciples as he was preparing to leave. Hey, you know what? You're cared for even as I leave. Now, he wasn't going into a war zone. He was going to somewhere even much greater. But he was preparing his disciples for life that would be like living in a war zone. Today, I'll be focusing on verses 20 to 26, but I wanted Linda to continue reading the whole background of that because that was the background that he laid for us, saying, this is who I am. Lord, I've been faithful to you, and you've been faithful to me, and I want my followers to know that you are behind me and behind them as I prepare to go. So if you haven't yet already turned to today's passage, I invite you to do so now. As Jesus was eating with the disciples during the Last Supper, he was preparing to leave them. He spent some significant moments with them, teaching them, encouraging them, and now he's praying for them. And the events that would send him to the cross were now in motion. In chapter 13, Jesus had just washed his disciples' feet, and he had even just excused Judas Iscariot, who had an errand with the chief priests. And so he went off to do what he was told to do. And in just a few hours, Jesus would be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've been there. These thousand-year-old olive trees are massive in girth now. And it was interesting to imagine that Jesus was here praying and the disciples were praying with him and then they fell asleep out of sheer fatigue, maybe fear, maybe just complacency. We're not sure. And this is where Jesus would pray tears of blood out of exasperation and fear and also excruciating pain as he anticipated the cross. He would then be beaten and scourged and then crucified and killed. Jesus tells his disciples to prepare for his departure, and then he talks to God. He prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, his followers, and for all future believers. Go with me to verse 20. The amazing thing is that Jesus was praying for the very people who would fail him in his greatest moment of need. And yet he still looked at this group of ragamuffins. Hobos, would-be betrayers and friends, and us, with complete confidence to spread his name throughout the world. Jesus never lost his faith in God or in his followers. That's the interesting part. At his Last Supper, Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for you and for me. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the Holy Spirit continues to do what Jesus started in Romans 8. Well, what does Jesus pray for? We're going to tap into a little bit of that today, this morning. Jesus prays for unity, and this is what Jen had alluded to as she was talking to the youngsters. Jesus prays for unity among his disciples and within his followers that would become the church worldwide. Jesus prays for good relationships within the faith community. He wants and prays that you and I would get along with one another. What is unity? Jesus didn't just want us to be cordial or civil or polite with one another. Of course, he wants us to be that. But verse 21 says that he wants us to be one, just as he is in the Father and the Father is in him. Jesus wants us to be one with each other the way the Father is with the Son. Now that's getting fairly personal. When Charlene and I were missionaries in Japan, we started our work not knowing a soul. When we landed, we were greeted by total strangers, and yet we felt enveloped by the love through the unity that comes from a common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our common faith bridged the cultural and language barriers. We didn't understand a word they said when we first set foot as we landed in Osaka, but we were welcomed by this warmth, and we were overcome. Within the first week of landing in Japan, we had been invited to many people's homes, and we had people in our new home. It was smaller than a shoebox, at least that's how it felt. But it was home, and it was warm. And we were rubbing elbows with people who we couldn't verbally communicate with yet, but we were still connecting nonetheless. It took some time and patience and a lot of laughter. But we communicated as we mutually slaughtered each other's language, and what fun Charlene and I had as we were trying to find common gestures and language and loves and passions in each other's languages and cultures. It was the love of Christ which we had in common that broke through all of those seemingly insurmountable barriers. Killarney Park MB Church is one great example of a place, I think, that is a community that stands united across all traditional barriers of race, of custom, of gender, or socioeconomic status. Now, we've got ways to go. We can do a lot better. But we're working at that. And we have people with so many diverse backgrounds, occupations, ethnic origins, and incomes. And yet, we all assemble under this one roof together to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The problem is that the world does not see a unified church. And I don't mean a Killarney Park MB church. I mean the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. The world sees places like Ireland, where the Pope is currently, where the conflict between Roman Catholic and Protestant churches has gone beyond the debate, and the fighting has gone into the streets. History talks about the reformers and how they treated the Anabaptists, of which we're a part of, how they were killed because they wouldn't confess that the Pope was leader. Today we have differences between liberals and conservatives, and it's taken it into the political realm. One problem is that people misinterpret unity to be conformity. We all don't look the same, and we are all unique, but we are drawn together by a common Lord and Savior, and we are all drawn together in a common purpose to glorify God, one baptism, one family of faith. We're called to glorify Him. Another problem is that often people see the church as a place of strife or politics or hypocrisy, and the truth of the matter is that the church is made up of people who are indeed in conflict, maybe with one another, maybe with themselves, but people who do manipulate and people who are hypocrites. I'm included in all of that. But we have all been saved by grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Because all of us fall short of the glory of God. And we need to continue to repent again and again and again, moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour. We need to listen to the prayers of Jesus again and again. And we also need to pray as Jesus did for us, that the world may be able to perceive in us the reconciling power of Jesus Christ. The reality is that Jesus prays for all of his followers, past and present, and those to come. Jesus prays for us. Within our own faith community, we have seen people reconciling and rebuilding broken relationships, righting wrongs, bringing light into darkness. William Barclay, an old preacher, Scottish preacher, wrote, "Real unity between all Christians would be a supernatural fact which would require a supernatural explanation." And I hope and pray that we have that opportunity and the courage to share these supernatural facts and explanations as they occur in our lives. I hope that we're able to share those things with our friends who don't know him yet. We're going to sing a song shortly. They'll know that we're Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. Together we will spread the news that God is in our land. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. Boy, those words move me, and I hope they do you as well. But this is how we'll praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. This is how the world will know that we are Christians. It's by our love. That's the supernatural explanation that Barclay was talking about. It's the love that is grounded in Christ. What will this look like? Well, not only how the song describes it, but Christians will be known for its compassion and care for one another and for others. And we need to model that within our own fellowship first, within family first. And so there are many of us who are in deep need of care. And so we need to enter into each other's lives and rub elbows and enter each other's spaces and help one another. Your pastor can't do it alone. We need to do this as a fellowship together. Each of us has a role as we share the love of Christ with one another. We won't have to go through struggles alone. We will bear each other's burdens. Some of us are widows or widowers. Some of us are single, and we need companionship. We need friendship. Let us join each other in doing that. Christians will look beyond the color of one's skin, or the smell of one's food, or the way that one is dressed. We'll look beyond those surface things, and we'll go the second mile and get to know one another. Like the song states, we'll do all of the above together. You know, while in Japan, one of my pastor friends, Takeda Sensei, Shinji Takeda, who's a pastor at a little church called Mukogawa Church. It's also an intercultural church with Japanese and Koreans and Chinese attending. He talked about how it was amazing that the love of God could bridge the cultural gaps and the language gaps, and more importantly, help heal past wounds. Pastor Takeda also shared with me a story about the Japanese occupation of Korea. He talked about how war could make hardworking people into quite brutal soldiers. He also shared about how there was much animosity between the nations of Japan and Korea and China. During the war, some Japanese soldiers set fire to a church still filled with its congregation, killing all of its occupants. And for decades, Christians in Korea could not wipe away the memory of such evil persecution. They loathed the Japanese. And as Takeda Sensei told me the story, there was a monument was built at the location of the fire. It stood as a reminder of their pain. In 1972, he said, a group of Japanese pastors traveling through Korea came upon the memorial. And when they read the details of the tragedy, they were overcome with shame. They returned to Japan, and with an outpouring of love from their fellow believers, they raised, at the time, 10 million yen. That was the equivalent of around 25,000 US back then. And with it, they built a beautiful white church on the site of the tragedy, a nice new white church building. That wasn't the end of it, though. At the dedication service, the Japanese generosity was acknowledged, but the memories were still there. These Japanese descendants of a ruthless enemy were there. Speeches were made, the details of the tragedy were recalled, and the names of the dead were honored. At the close of the service, they all began to sing, "Nearer, my God, to thee," in their different languages. As the voices mingled, memories of the past mixed with the truth of the song, and resistance started to melt. The song leader then sang "At the Cross," and the Japanese believers began to weep. You see, the Korean church was not alone. The Japanese church grassroots movement came and joined them in this dedication. And during this time of singing, the Japanese believers began to sing and weep, and the Korean believers' bitterness was overcome by the love of the cross. And Pastor Takeda concluded, "They clung to each other and they were weeping." Japanese tears of repentance and Korean tears of forgiveness, they intermingled. What a beautiful picture. And they bathed and rebaptized the site of an old nightmare with these tears. Heaven had sent the gift of reconciliation to a little white church in Korea. Jesus, our Lord, the head of the body of Christ, desires our unity. He prayed for it, but sometimes it's hard to be unified. We're one body, but not yet whole. And yet, if we are unified, the church, as strange a family as it is, will proclaim the good news. I love how Doug said it to me. It was a few months ago now, Doug. It was in the midst of what was happening in the Middle East. And as Muslims were killing Muslims, he said, "You know, we Christians don't always get along either, but isn't it a testament that we can proclaim if we can get along? Our message is one of reconciliation and peace, and we need to do that together as Christians so we can proclaim to the world that we can get along despite differences." What a message to share with the world. How will they know that we are Christians? It's by our love. Our efforts and moves towards reconciliation, as difficult as that can be, our participating in the righting of wrongs, our intentional offerings of forgiveness, our cultivation of a loving community, sharing in the gifts of God's grace together, as difficult as that might be and awkward as that might be. Praise be to our God. Amen.